It is Friday, January 11th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, will present its Masterworks 2 concert on Saturday, January 26th at 7:30 p.m. at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. The concert will feature Prokofiev's Symphony No. 5 and Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1, featuring internationally acclaimed pianist Ching Yung Hu. Tickets available at 443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org.
KUIF is supported by contributing listeners and by Malco Theaters and their fan page on Facebook. Fans receive direct movie information to their email inbox on the web at facebook.com/Malco Theaters to join.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Walmart and Governor Mike Beebe announce a health care change at the state capitol. The Bentonville School District prepares to ask voters for a millage increase again with a revised proposal. And the band Phones explains why playing in a loud band has its benefits.
First, a new Arkansas policy allows DHS workers to let children stay with their parents or guardians for infractions that may be considered minor cases of neglect. Before the updated rules, a child could be placed in foster care for not being enrolled in school and not having proper hygiene. Amy Webb with DHS says the rules offer caseworkers more flexibility.
We do know that there will be children that we need to take into our custody because there are safety issues at their home. The waiver would not eliminate the need for the child welfare system, but we think we could use it a little more wisely, take in the more serious cases, work with the families on the less serious cases, and that way only kids who really truly need to be in the system will be in the system.
Children will still be immediately removed from homes and placed into foster care for instances of sexual or physical abuse.
The city of Bella Vista may soon be the proud new owner of 3 buildings and land already being used by the city's police and fire departments. In a special meeting yesterday morning, the Bella Vista Property Owners Association Board of Directors voted to accept an offer from the city to purchase the buildings. Though as the buildings are common property owned by the association, association members will first be asked to approve the purchase. If members do approve the deal, Bella Vista Mayor Frank Anderson says both the POA and the city would benefit from the transaction.
It will help them out from the standpoint of getting them out of any of the maintenance for those buildings. It will give them some monies for the value of those buildings. From the city standpoint, it will get us into the real estate business. Currently, we own no real estate other than if you consider the roads and the rights of way for those roads. That's the only property that the city actually has control over within the city limits.
The city council offered to pay almost $1.9 million for the land and buildings located off of Trafalgar Road, Glasgow Road, and Town Center. Anderson says there's more than one way that the city could foot the bill for the real estate.
We have the ability, I think, to finance if we want to go that route and not make an outright cash payment. We could probably, based on my estimation, and obviously we'll have to deal with the city council and figure out what their druthers are and how they would like to go about the purchase, but we have the capability to pay outright for the building, the offer that was made.
According to a news release by the POA, it could take another 5 months before the transaction is complete. In the meantime, the city will continue to pay its monthly rental rate to the association.
Monday is the first day of the spring semester at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Among the changes students can expect, the completion of the new lecture auditorium located on Dixon Street. Mike Johnson is the Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities at the U of A.
Well, Hillside Auditorium will have classes starting Monday, so it'll have up to 777 people if they fill both classrooms coming and going at class change. That has a 487-seat classroom and a 290-seat classroom.
The new auditorium building replaces the former Science and Engineering Auditorium, which was built in 1964. Johnson says the new auditorium is a vast improvement over the previous one.
It's much more modern, has better sight lines, acoustics, complete audiovisual tie-ins. It's just a better facility. And it's got different aisles. It's 100% better than what we had in science engineering.
The footprint of the new building also replaces the former geology building built in 1947 as a joint project between the university and the United States Army to be used as a chemical, physical, and engineering research facility.
Referendums to get casinos in Arkansas may have failed to get on the ballot in last year's election, but casino-style gambling at Arkansas's two racetracks surged ahead last year. According to Talk Business, casinos at Hot Springs-based Oaklawn and West Memphis-based Southland totaled $2.7 billion in electronic games of skill wagers for the 12 months of 2012. That total is roughly 38% higher than from 2011. EGS wagers include gambling spent on video blackjack, poker, slot machines, and other casino-style games. Year-to-date, EGS wagers at Southland topped $1.78 billion, while year-to-date wagers at Oaklawn totaled nearly $934 million. Oaklawn season begins today, and profits from EGS wagers are expected to boost purses for the horse races.
The headlining act for the Washington Regional Foundation's 20th annual gala has been announced, and for some, it may be a cause for celebration. Kool and the Gang will perform at the gala April 2nd at Walton Arts Center. It will celebrate the foundation's 25th year. Proceeds will support Washington Regional's critical care unit.
2012 was an exceptionally warm year, and according to the National Weather Service, it was the warmest year on record in both Fayetteville and Fort Smith. In Fayetteville, the average temperature for the year was 60.6 degrees, 3.5 degrees higher than average, and Fort Smith was just more than 5 degrees warmer than normal, with the average temperature pegged at 66.2 degrees for the year. Tonight, expect mostly cloudy conditions with a low in the mid to upper 40s and a 20% chance of rain in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, there is a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and expect highs to be from 52 in northwest Arkansas to 57 in the Arkansas River Valley. And tomorrow night, there is a 70% chance of rain likely before midnight and a chance of sleet and snow with a low around 27 degrees in northwest Arkansas and a low around 33 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. How are you on this Friday?
I am well, and I am well because it's Friday.
Yes. Well, let's talk about some numbers that came out Tuesday. There were unemployment numbers that were delivered for all the metro areas in Arkansas, including the Fort Smith Metro in northwest Arkansas. Unemployment down, but the number of people in the workforce also down.
Right. It's it's just a function of the way the math works in the Fort Smith area. The workforce, the size of the workforce continues to decrease. But although you have fewer employed, the unemployment rate comes down. I know we've had some people email the CityWire saying that our reporting is stupid and wrong because the math just can't be that way. Well, they should complain to the federal government, not us. It's their formula. Yes, it's a good news, bad news situation in the Fort Smith region. Unemployment dropped down to 7.6%, but that does not mean there are more people employed. In fact, it means the opposite. It means the workforce is shrinking, and those continues to be just a persistent problem. And we've yet to see anyone in the Fort Smith region, Chamber City, anyone step up with any answers, and I'm not sure there is any answers. It's probably just a larger macroeconomic condition. But, of course, in northwest Arkansas, it's a complete opposite. Fell down to 4.6%, one of the lowest rates, or the lowest rate in Arkansas, and one of the lowest rates of all metro areas in the country. And there you see both an increase in the size of the workforce and an increase in the number of employed. So just two metro areas connected geographically, again, as we've said in the past, two completely different economic pictures.
On the page at thecitywire.com where you report on this, you at the end of the article list the past annual average unemployment rates for the Fort Smith metro area. And from 2000 to 2008, it never got above 5.5%. It was often below 5%, but then that dramatic change in 2009, 10, and 11, where it's gone from 4.8 to 8.6.
Yes, and so it looks like 2012, we're going to end up with 4 years, and that speaks to that word I used earlier, that it's a persistent problem. And, it began with the manufacturing decline, and it's obvious to see how many jobs that non-manufacturing jobs, the manufacturing jobs, supported. So as we began to lose those, I think we're over 30%, maybe 35% loss in the number of manufacturing jobs in the past 10 years. in the Fort Smith area. Unfortunately, you know, at one time, you know, the manufacturing sector was a large part, 25 to 30% of the overall economy. So that, I mean, we can trace our economic woes back to being too reliant on manufacturing. It's just like a company who they have one client who's a big part of their business, and if they lose that client, it's painful. So that's what they're seeing in Fort Smith.
So Tuesday unemployment numbers, Wednesday for Arkansas home sales numbers, which for the overall state have increased a bit.
Right. In the CityWire's Arkansas home sales report, we measure 14 of 75 counties. That may not sound like a lot, but it accounts for up to 75% of all Arkansas home sales. We look at the state's four largest metro areas, and November home sales were up over 8%, and the value of those home sales was up over 10%. And that's a good sign, Kyle, because it shows that the price stability, it shows that we're seeing an increase in value even on a smaller percentage of homes sold. Again, though, and I hate to pick on Fort Smith, but of the four metro areas we looked at, three had increases. The Fort Smith area didn't. It wasn't that the decrease was much, but it's just the housing sector, it's holding its own, but there's not growth in it in the Fort Smith area, and that includes Sebastian and Crawford County. But the good news is, overall, on a statewide level, it looks like 2012 will be better than even 2011 and possibly 2010 in terms of number of homes sold and the value.
There's going to be about $80 million spent on some road work on I-540 from the 40 Exchange to Rogers Avenue. I've driven that several times, and there are places where you could see a need for improvement.
Yeah. Well, or there's places you couldn't see room for improvement because you're bouncing so much over the highway, it's hard to see anything. Yes, 7-8 mile section. And obviously, it'll be disruptive, but I think most people understand that that's necessary to have it look nicer. And I'm hoping so far the city of Fort Smith and the Arkansas Highway Department, it doesn't look like they coordinated well, but it would be nice if they would use this opportunity to try to create a nicer looking entrance to Fort Smith. Right now, when you come in on 540 across that Arkansas River Bridge, it just looks horrible. I mean, it looks like you're driving into a 1950s landfill. I mean, it's just so, it'd be nice if they could do something to dress that up, but probably shouldn't look at give horse in the mouth. $80 million, that's going to be, it's going to be great work. They're going to redo bridges. That's also going to be an economic impact, Kyle. We're working on that story. So a lot of construction jobs. That should help on that front also.
And the expectation is done in fewer than 6 months.
Well, you know, that's interesting. This is the way the government works, or the highway department works, I'm not sure. The company doing it has promised them 153 work days, but it's going to take about a year and a half to complete.
Ah.
But yeah, you would think that 153 work days, hell, we'll be done in 6 months. Well, that doesn't, not every day is counted as a work day.
I see.
So the time for completion, and there's even dress-up work that, you know, the construction company isn't responsible for. So we've had some commenters on the CityWire not understand that, and that's understandable that they don't understand, because sometimes the terms that the highway department puts out aren't always completely understandable.
And finally, a man who would like to be the next governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, was in Fort Smith recently, and he sort of informally called it his first campaign stop, did he not?
Yes, he did. He spoke to a group called Q&A. It's definitely a Tea Party group, so he was speaking to the choir, so to speak. But yes, and I got to tell you, of course, everyone knows Asa has made a bid for governor. He made a bid for in 2006 and lost to Governor BB. You know, and he lost the attorney general's race, but he was a third district congressman for several terms. I got to tell you, though, I'm a little bit as politically experienced as Asa is, I was surprised at what appears to be kind of a ham-fisted announcement. He speaking to a Northwest Arkansas television station and kind of let something slip that he might be running, and it's looked disorganized. I'm hoping at some point he gets an organized campaign and that type of thing going, but it almost it almost looks like it's been an accidental announcement and an accidental campaign. It's just, I've been watching politics for 20, 25 something, 30 years, and this just seems to be one of the most disjointed announcements that I've seen. So it'd be interesting to see when he gets the wheels on this thing.
Safe to say it's not a slam dunk that it is Dustin McDaniel against Asa Hutchinson in 2014?
Oh, I don't think anything is safe to say, especially on the Democratic side, especially with Dustin McDaniel. I mean, he's told us there's no other shoe to drop. There are no other women in this affair issue he has going on. But, you know, the day he said this, the lady who he had this affair with responded by saying, that's not true. I've got 500 texts between us. So this thing is going to get ugly, or it's going to get pretty, depending on what your enjoyment level is in terms of politics. But on the Democrat side, I don't know. And the Republican side, you know, there's still some factors. But the smart money now, yes, Asa, Dustin, they're not smart money, the only money, but I wouldn't put any money in it. It's anything can happen.
And it's a long way away.
Right. Yes, sir. Long way away.
Michael Tilley is the editor of and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire listening area. Michael, thank you for your time.
You are welcome, Kyle.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On this week's edition of Shades of Jazz, I will feature more of my picks from 2012, great recordings, including The Cookers and Reuben Wilson, some more from Grace Kelly, and a recording made in 1963 but just released this year with the Paul Winter Sextet, recorded live at the Kennedy White House. This and much more Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz.
This is Ozarks at Large. Walmart says it will join and help fund an Arkansas effort to cut health care costs by changing the way private insurers and Medicaid pay for medical services. Michael Hiblin with our content partner KUAR was at yesterday's announcement at the state capitol in Little Rock.
Walmart is planning to take part in Arkansas's payment improvement initiative. It's aimed at moving away from a fee-for-service model to one where insurers pay for episodes of care rather than each individual treatment. Governor Mike Beebe said it is a needed change.
It is a further example of the collaboration that is occurring among so many different constituencies to try to get a handle on one segment of our economy that has continued just to escalate and explode, that's hurt our businesses, it's hurt our individual families, and that's the rising cost of health care.
The Bentonville-based retailer said its 57,000 employees in the state will participate in the plan. Sally Wellborn, Walmart's Senior Vice President of Benefits, said the company will also commit money to create an annual tracking report to evaluate the impact of the reforms.
Governor Beebe, we respect this work. It's really exciting that it's right here in our backyard in Arkansas, and we're excited about the opportunity to support this. And we are committed to working with you to look for additional new and innovative ways to address health care quality and costs for our associates, for Arkansas, and for all Americans.
Arkansas Surgeon General Joe Thompson.
Sally, let me, on behalf of our whole payment improvement team, both those in the Medicaid Department of Human Services, Blue Cross, QualChoice, our hospitals, our physicians, our clinicians across the state, thank you for bringing your weight to what I think is a critically important point. I've mentioned before, I think our healthcare system is at a tipping point. We have providers, doctors, hospitals providing very high quality components of care, but our payment system doesn't make it where people experience a seamless continuum of care as they transit the system. So our efforts are really to improve quality, increase efficiency, eliminate duplication, and to bend the cost curve, because our healthcare system is growing and outpacing our revenues, both in the public side for businesses and families, as well as the public side for Medicaid.
Arkansas began rolling out the initiative last July. In Little Rock, I'm Michael Heplin.
Voters in the Bentonville School District will likely have another option for creating a second high school. After the defeat last year of a millage proposal to fund such a project, the school district conducted a survey of those who did vote in the last election in an attempt to understand what did and did not sit well with the last plan. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has this report on that survey and what might be next in Bentonville.
923 people that responded to the Bentonville School District survey said that they were opposed to any high school growth option that would raise taxes. Jim Parsons is the chairman of the Bella Vista Patriots. He says that the group was steadfastly opposed to the district's millage proposal that voters defeated last summer.
I don't think we want to spend one penny building any more of their schools. And I have said so at two of their board meetings and expressed that, and yet none of that came out in their report. Also filled out their survey saying just what I just told you, and none of that has come out. And I think they have to pay attention and listen to Bella Vista, because we vote up here. We're old, a lot of us, of that greatest generation. And we believe in the voting democratic process, and we vote. And since we do, why, I think that we have the power, and I believe the records will show, it was the Bella Vista vote that was most significant against their proposal last time.
Of the three polling places in Bella Vista, a reported 70% of voters turned down the proposal at two, while 56% voted against the measure at the other. Mary Lay is the Director of Communications and Public Relations for the Bentonville School District. She says that while it will be necessary to convert some of the prior no votes into yes votes, it isn't the district's only focus for the next millage proposal.
I think it's crucial, however, I think it's more crucial that we get more parents registered to vote, and I think that's we're hurting more on that end than we are on relying on Bella Vista citizens. I think only about 20% of our parents are registered to vote, and I think what we really need to do is for parents, for the children that we are serving, we need to get them more involved to vote.
Meanwhile, Parsons says that the only way forward for Bella Vista residents is to forge their own path. He suggests that there are enough school-aged people living in Bella Vista to justify a separate school district.
I know the state is against doing this, and I know they don't want to create new school districts. What they want to do is consolidate and cut the number down. And, of course, there you cut the administrative cost. And I agree with that. We do have too many superintendents, and too many principals, and too much administrative overhead, and we need more instructors and teachers that really deliver the material to the students.
Yet, Lay says that splitting Bella Vista into its own school district would be a difficult solution to attain.
We're not trying to make kids go to Bentonville, but we are very proud of all Bentonville children. We're very proud of Bentonville children, whether they come from the Rogers area or Bella Vista or Centerton Gamble. We are just very proud to have all of them and want to serve all of them at 100%. But it's not a realistic expectation, because the state law requires so many students to be in a district before you're allowed to break off. And I don't think any of the other outside areas could have that kind of infrastructure to allow the state to approve that.
However, Parsons feels that the demographics of Bella Vista have shifted considerably in the past decade.
45 years ago, yes, this was a retirement community, and there were elderly retirees coming here to retire and play golf. But a lot of those people have either moved on or died, and those homes are for sale, and they're less expensive than the ones in Bentonville and Rogers. And so we have a lot of these Walmart vendors that are young and have children moving here.
According to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, about 3,300 children between the ages of 5 and 18 lived in Bella Vista in 2010. Some of these students are enrolled in the Bentonville School District, while some go to schools in Gravette. While there may not be enough students in Bella Vista to justify its own district, Parsons says that he has been working on a solution.
I'm right now talking with Superintendent Page in Gravette, wondering if we couldn't consolidate perhaps with them and have a Gravette Bella Vista School District, and that way we would be consolidating and cut at least our ties with Bentonville.
Regardless of what may become of efforts to consolidate or create a new school district, one thing is certain. The Bentonville School District will bring another millage proposal before voters in the coming year, and the only way to have your voice heard is to show up at the polls when voting time comes around. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
Friday, January 11th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
It's 2013.
It is. Mm. Will be for about another 11 and a half months.
Okay. Well, I'll adjust by then, or maybe not.
Probably won't.
Probably not.
I think
we will. It's a good thing that Antoinette and I have each other to be supportive of
commiserate about this.
But let's commiserate about the need for art.
Okay.
And we have a whole bunch going on this weekend and next week. There's an opening reception tonight for the dynamic collaboration between sculptures of fine art and decor of applied art.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But it sounds fun. It's from 5 to 7 tonight at the Center for Art and Education in Van Buren.
Mm-hmm.
There is an exhibit at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith that you've seen some of the images in, but seeing them as an exhibit would be a whole different thing.
Photography, right?
The photography of Will Counts, whose photos are the ones you remember seeing from the 1957 desegregation of Central High in Little Rock. Interesting that he was the son of sharecroppers,
mm-hmm.
learned to take photos, took all of these amazing photos, and they ask him at some time before he passed away, it was in his obituary in the New York Times, they ask him, how did he take these photos without stepping in? And he said, it's your job. You just hope you have film.
Hmm.
Really fascinating. They are on exhibit now at the Smith Pendergraph Campus Center at UAFS and will be on exhibit through February 28th. You've got to plan because they're only open on weekdays.
Okay. But it is open to the public.
Yes. 8 to 6 Monday through Thursday and 8 to 4 on Fridays in the West Hallway of the Smith Pendergraph Campus Center.
So free.
So free.
So free.
There's an exhibit called Abstractions on Paper. 26 works from the collection of the Arkansas Art Center of Little Rock that goes on exhibit tomorrow through April 30th at Crystal Bridges. There's an exhibit. What is this with long titles? Employing Voice, Embracing Agency, Contemporary African American Artists that opens Monday at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville Fine Arts Center Gallery. Works of African-American artists from the collection of Darryl Walker, who you might recall was a UA basketball player.
Absolutely, yes.
Former NBA player. There's a reception toward the end of it, 5 o'clock on February 18th.
He was also a head coach in the WNBA.
See?
He's been all over basketball.
Kyle knows lots of stuff. There's an exhibit called Prints by Amos Kelly Jr. He was a renowned letterpress printer based in Alabama, and he is proprietor of Kennedy Prints, and that's on view starting the 14th at the Fine Arts Center Gallery Exhibition Cases.
Good grief.
At the UA. I'm not done yet.
Okay.
And there's an exhibit called Arkansas Champion Trees.
At the Botanical Gardens.
This is really interesting. I didn't know what a champion tree was.
It's the largest, it's the biggest, it's the widest of its species.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And this artist, whose name is Linda Williams Palmer, has had great adventures. She's from Hot Springs, and she's been all over the state photographing and then doing colored pencil drawings of these champion trees. And 18 of her sketches will be at the Botanical Garden starting Thursday through February 9th. I think this is the first time they've had a show that they've charged admission for.
Hmm.
Could be.
$2.50 or $5 unless you're a garden member, and you can find out more at 750-2620.
$2.50 or $5? You have the choice?
No. I think it's $2.50 if you're a member, $5 if you're not.
No, I think it's $2.50 for younger audiences.
Oh, okay.
Free if you're a member.
Gotcha.
Oh, free if you're a member. I'm sorry.
And I just came from a fascinating interview with Dr. John Adkins of Fayetteville, who is preparing for a show next weekend at the old Subaru dealership on College.
In Fayetteville.
He's going to fill it up with these amazing, eclectic, huge, gorgeous wood sculptures. And you can look forward to a story in Friday's What's Up.
Gosh, plenty of art. All right, thanks, Becca.
Becca Martin-Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, it's another name brand interview you won't want to miss. It was R.J. Mischow and his good friend from Minnesota, Jeremy Johnson. I've played all the songs of previous shows, but this is the first time I've put the interview together. That's Friday night at 9 o'clock, the Generic Blues Show on KUAF. We'll see you then.
Just ahead on Ozarks, the band Phones never does phone it in. Two of the band's four members explain why playing live, even rehearsing together, keeps them engaged in music. They play tonight at JR's in Fayetteville, and in just a couple of minutes, they'll talk with Kyle. And should you be out late tonight and maybe sleeping in tomorrow, hopefully you will be awake by 3:30.
Oh, boy, you'd have to be up late not to be up by 3:30.
It happens.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
I'm just saying. Okay. But 3:30 tomorrow, we have Tales from the South on KUAF, as always. But tomorrow, Mark Landon Smith.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Does all sorts of things involved with the Fun Bags Comedy Improv,
yes.
Co-founder of Ceramic Cow Production, a theater company in town.
Just did the Santa Land Diaries in
yes.
December.
The artistic or executive director, I can never remember
executive
the official
director.
Time. Okay, of Arts Life Theater, a theater company for children. All these things. Has his hand in something else. He's been working on this book of his. It's a humorous book of observations called Mr. Fancy Pants, and he will actually read some of it on the show tomorrow.
That's right. It's a production from KUAR. It's recorded at the Starving Artist Cafe in North Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Here's just a tease.
Thank you. Thank you and good evening. Good evening. So how many of you remember a show called Romper Room?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading a story from my book that I'm working on, Mr. Fancy Pants, and I hope that this will bring back some memories for some of you. This story is called The Son of Miss Sharon. My family had a secret never spoken of, never acknowledged, a secret which remained buried in our attic, accidentally uncovered the summer of my 15th year. And once the discovery had been made, our family was never the same.
So that's tomorrow at 3:30?
Yes.
On Tales from the South on KUAF. Really? 3:30 as a wake-up time?
Maybe it was a really good night.
Okay. All right. A couple of new seasons get underway on the University of Arkansas campus today. The indoor track and field season opens for both the men's and women's teams with dual meets at the Randall Tyson Track Center. The men's team, ranked number one in the country, will host number three, Texas. That begins tonight at 6. This afternoon, the women's indoor squad, ranked 7th, hosts Oklahoma State. That meet gets underway at 4.
The UA gymnastics team also opens the 2013 season tonight on campus. The Razorbacks are ranked 12th in preseason polls and host number 11, Georgia, at Barnhill Arena. Arkansas ended up ranked 6th in the nation at the end of last season.
And good news for music lovers, a chunk of Northwest Arkansas music history is available again digitally. Almost 2 years ago, the Fayetteville-based art collective Artemis had a show at Smoke and Barrel in downtown Fayetteville, saluting local punk bands from the past couple of decades. A limited edition CD was handed out at the door, but just to the first 100 attendees that night. Now the compilation can be streamed for free at the Artemis Bandcamp page, or for just $5, you can download it in a variety of formats. Also at that page, many other Artemis collections of regional music. The web address is arkansasmusic.bandcamp.com. The first few days of 2013 have certainly been a winter blast of music around here. This weekend alone, there are opportunities to hear live jazz, opera, Broadway, folk, and the altogether not easy to define music of Pallbearer. The band from Little Rock has earned national kudos from the likes of Rolling Stone, Spin, and Pitchfork. Those determined to put a label on Paul Bearer generally settle on metal. And tonight, they'll play their first show in Northwest Arkansas in 2 years at JR's Lightbulb Club in Fayetteville. Opening that show at about 10 tonight will be an exciting Fayetteville-based band that creates a sound that could have been heard on a vinyl record in punk rock's earliest days. The four-piece band spells its name F-A-U-X-N-Z. This week I mentioned to band members Sam King and Zach Waite that the spelling could create some confusion about its pronunciation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's phones.
Phones.
We thought that, the deal was that a friend of ours was leaving town, and we just figured out how many practices we could have before he left town and we could have a band, and we figured five practices, a song per practice. So we thought we would just have one show.
Yeah.
So Phones is the kind of name.
It's the name you come,
you
up,
come
with.
Up with. Yeah. Yeah. Or a band's going to have one show.
Yeah, it was intentionally really ridiculous. Yeah.
Sam King and Zach Waite possess great senses of humor and, on the surface, may appear to think that their bands, they also play together in the trio Egyptor, are merely fun distractions. But engage them in conversation just a bit longer, and they'll reveal that the common act of making music together can serve quite an important role.
I think that we always joke around about this a lot, but that if we were a Dungeons & Dragons party, we're a really well-balanced party. You know, that Charlie, the drummer, is obviously, he's sort of the fighter. You know, lots of stamina and speed.
Right.
And Sam is, I kind of think of as like a cleric-y character, you know? I mean, he can kind of like, he fills in a lot of gaps, like lends a lot of like power, but still, you know.
Sort of a sage.
Yeah, Brian seems like a wizard just because he's a wizard.
Musically?
Yeah, when you watch him play
guitar.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And thus you?
And then I'm sort of like, I'm the other guy, the thief or the dwarf, you know, the one that you kind of keep in the back and then he sneaks up and picks a lock every once in a while or something. But, like, but you need them all, you know? I mean, I feel like, I feel like just when one person's going a little bit one way, then, like, well, there's a great combination of people or a great momentum going the other way. Like, well, things are getting... For the last 20 seconds, things have been sort of desert metal. Like, we love this sort of loose but tight, but we also like confounding the thing we just worked so hard to build.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it is like, well, we just worked so hard to build this thing. Wouldn't it, the thing that would give that the most power is just to pull the rug out from under it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frozen in time and somehow still a momentum gets going in another direction, and so...
I think, yeah, that's kind of the challenge if you're going to write music that's, like, you know, loud guitar-based music when there's such... There's already such a tremendous precedent and so much recent history that chances are people coming to your shows, they've heard the same stuff you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just hand them, you know, a sort of, like, something they've heard plus a little water plus a little bit of whatever you can bring to it, then they're going to figure it out pretty quick. And so if you try to surprise yourself, then chances are if your listeners are tuned in, then they're going to be surprised or they're going to enjoy the thing that you were able to add to it or to, you know, even if it's just bizarre juxtapositions or something.
When it's music like that that does pull the rug out from under itself, is it difficult to play it the same way live twice?
No. We rehearse.
It's just charted music.
All music is difficult for me to play the same way twice. But no, it's highly, yeah. I mean, it's written.
It's pretty diagrammed
as heck. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's not open in rehearsal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like when we're rehearsing, that's actually a really enjoyable time because that bolted down thing isn't there, and you're really playing off of like somebody introduces something once, and you heard it, and you spit it back, or you play on top of it, and you know, that practice can be an improvisational thing. I really get a lot out of that. we're just not the as a band and possibly just as individual players, we're not as improvisational in that mode. That music, I think that the kind of music we're playing has more impact when it's rehearsed, because when you do turn on a dime, you know, you don't want to turn on a dime sloppily. Everybody's going to know what that is.
Yeah. Or alone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I imagine you can't come to a rehearsal, or especially a show, and not be ready to have energy. You can't be, you know,
that produces
sloth-like.
Yeah, I think that produces itself. I mean, I've been in bands for most of my, I guess, adult life, and I've always, you know, there have been times when I was doing it more and times when I was doing it less, but I never completely get rid of that kind of butterflies feeling before we play. Like I always still get on edge, and I think that takes it up a notch. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that always puts you in a place where you're thinking more about what you're doing, but you're also more ready to get lost in it in a good way. Like where you're ready to just kind of give yourself over to the performance. And I don't know if that'll ever go away, actually, because the crowd always makes it something else.
I guess if it ever does go away, then that's when
you take a break.
Yeah.
Well, for me, part of that is too, like the product, the song is it's a map back to that place. Because a lot of times I'll show up for practice or I'll show up to a show. It's the last thing I feel like doing, and no part of it seems, I don't want to say no part of it seems worth doing, but no part of it seems like
overwhelmingly compelling.
Yeah, it's something you've decided to do, and here you've done it. But if you've written the song right, if the song is real, and if you're really connecting, then that song is a map back to that place. And so if you follow it, and the energy is there. You saved it for yourself. It's money in the bank. And when you show up to play that song, it's a gift you've given yourself. We've given each other. I mean, that sounds. It doesn't sound hokey. That's absolutely what it is. And you know, and if you've done it right, then like, yeah, you show up and it doesn't matter how you feel when you start playing the song, you'll get there and it will happen for you. Mm. And it does that. I mean, it does it over and over. It's great.
I think that's why people still have bands in part. I mean, the dynamic that you get from being in a band with other people is unlike any other kind of relationship. There's plenty of metaphors that you can apply, but a band dynamic is really great because, you know, you get older and you lose time for just hanging out with people. Everybody has jobs. Some people have families. And you just become kind of a grouch and you want to hang out by yourself. But when you get together with people and you're making something like, and it's truly collaborative, you get to be creative in a different way, and you get to learn a lot about what your contribution is, even when you're working by yourself, what your contribution to a bigger group is. And you also learn from the people that you work with. Like it's a really satisfying thing. And I think a lot of music culture has kind of moved away from it. You know, like plenty of people are operating more as like content curators and they're doing interesting things and they're definitely responding to other people. But it's kind of like at a remove. And the immediacy of being in a band is something that I don't think I could like dispense with. I like playing with other people. So
I don't think that there are very many more. I mean, I'd love to say it that there are. But I don't think there are very many more powerful motivators than shame and vanity. You know?
And they're very close together.
Oh, God, yeah.
Same coin.
And when you're in a room with people you respect – you respect their taste. You respect what they did all day before they showed up to do what you're doing together. You know that, like, everybody's – it's not a job and it's not for school. It's not for – like, no one expects you to do it. You're just in there together. You don't want to look across the room and see that guy you respect and love with that look on his face that's like
– what are you doing?
Kind of wish I hadn't have showed up. No, you – yeah, it's an amazing engine and it's – yeah, one of the reasons to show up, it makes it happen.
Zach Waite and Sam King are two of the four members of the band Phones. That's spelled FAUXNZ. The band opens for Paul Bearer tonight at JR's on Block Avenue in Fayetteville. Music should start around 10 tonight. You can hear their music also at their Bandcamp page. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
So plenty of music on the show this week.
Well, when you think about it, because we had
opera.
Opera Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm. We got some jazz.
Adams Collins and his band.
Some metal.
Just now, talking to the members of Phones.
Mm-hmm. Now some blues.
That's right. R.J. Mischow, who is a local guy, but of national and international recognition when it comes to the harmonica and blues. He came recently a couple times to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A few weeks ago, he was in the performance studio with Jeremy Johnson on guitar. It was a session that was recorded by Paul Kelso.
Right, for tonight's edition of the Generic Blues Show, which airs at 9.
That's right.
And I know we talked to him last year, and I think during the summer.
It was before he did a free show at the Fayetteville Public
Library. That's right, and he was talking about his latest album, Make It Good, on Delta Groove Records. It has reached number 4 on the blues music chart since that time.
Yes.
And while he was here recently, he recorded 6 songs with Paul. And this one that you're about to hear right now is called Minnesota Woman.
Are you rolling?
Yep.
One more time. ask again, I got to call. I'm flying from Minnesota, California, right down to Arkansas.
RJ Misch Show, recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio for tonight's edition of the Generic Blues Show with Paul Kelso, heard at 9 on KUAF. RJ's latest CD is Make It Good. He was accompanied for that performance at KUAF by Jeremy Johnson on guitar. AETN, Fayetteville Public Library and KUAF invite the public to a free screening of Soul Food Junkies as part of community cinema. It's Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library. In this film, the soul food culinary tradition is examined for both its significance and its consequences. AETN.com/community cinema for more information. Discussion afterward moderated by our own Molly Ron.
Yep. And we've had plenty of music. We have one more bit of business for music today.
Yes, we do. We're giving away three sets of two tickets, so six tickets all, to three winners, to the performance by Steel Wheels and Threepenny Acre.
Very excited about the show.
Yes, I am too. It's Tuesday, January 22nd at George's on Dixon Street. Show begins around 9.
Mm-hmm. So what do we have to know?
Okay, so 150 years ago today, the Battle of the Arkansas Post ended after more than 2 days of fighting between Union and Confederate troops. It's considered one of the more important victories for the Union forces west of the Mississippi in the early years of the war. Arkansas Post, of course, was founded in the 17th century by Henry de Tonty. It's now an unincorporated community in the county, Arkansas County. Arkansas County has two county seats for your chance to win the tickets to see Threepenny Acre and Steel Wheels. Probably that night hear some news about this year's Roots Festival.
That's what I heard.
Send either of the correct answers to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. So Arkansas County.
Two county seats. I need to know at least. You need to tell us at least one of them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you have all weekend.
Yes, because we will give these away on Monday show.
Mm-hmm. So email your answers to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Fancy Hill.
Where is Fancy Hill?
It's in Montgomery County.
All right. We'll have to go to Fancy Hill sometime.
I know.
Yes. Yesterday on Facebook, we asked about, because Monopoly is going to lose one of its 8 tokens.
So they are going to lose one.
Yes. Fans on the Facebook page will vote on which one should go.
Well, why are they losing it? What was the reason?
It's a publicity stunt. They'll replace it with a robot, a diamond ring, a guitar, or a cat.
That's ridiculous.
Now, this has happened over the years because the wheelbarrow was added in the 50s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so I started thinking,
Well, I'm very upset about getting rid of the things.
I played
just this weekend, and I really like all of the things. I usually end up with a Scotty dog.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, why not just make it cooler? Like, make the wheel work.
On the wheelbarrow.
Yes. Or on the cars, too. Like, then it would just, I mean, that's new.
I so knew you would have a problem giving up one of the tokens.
I'm just saying.
They are not going to come into your house and take the wheelbarrow or the top hat away from your game now. You will get to keep those tokens. It's just the ones that are
Maybe I should buy a new one because I don't know where ours is.
There you go.
There you go.
And you have just paid in now to the whole Monopoly, what's going on.
Okay, whatever.
But we did ask, we're not going to have time to talk
yes,
about this.
No,
one.
Go.
We did ask on Facebook, if there was an Ozark-centric version of Monopoly, what would the tokens be?
Yes, the obvious winner was Razorback.
Yes, also?
We have the other 7 winners, the Walmart logo, Thorn Crown Chapel, a canoe, Sam Walton, Bill Clinton, a diamond, and a chicken.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not
I like
bad
it.
At all. Okay. That don't look for that game anytime soon, but hey, maybe Hasbro. Maybe there's a vendor for Hasbro.
There's a Hogopoly.
There is a Hogopoly. All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas will be with me Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks. Have a great weekend.